Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we could visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment.
One more announcement. If you go back one slide, Smitty, to that video, it is Senior Sunday. Can we give it a hand for our seniors here at Asbury? Christian Dawson, Miles Harward, and Bradley Verity. It is Senior Sunday, and there will be a special little slideshow coming up later in the service with pictures of them. And before I get started, I have to say, too, not only is it Senior Sunday, but this guy behind me, the most faithful drummer in launch band history, graduated with his master's, his MBA. So give Vincent a hand. We're so proud of him. Hey, let's stand and worship together, shall we, Asbury? I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? Oh, it was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing, but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb. It was my tomb. Till I met you. Oh, then you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of
out of the darkness Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Oh, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Gracious God, you are holy and you are loving and you are wondrous. And we are so grateful today. Today we thank you for our mothers, whether they're our biological mother or a mother who adopted us or a mother who may not have even had children of her own but served as a mother for us. We thank you for each and every one, and we pray for grace for their imperfections. We pray for grace for our imperfections. And God, we thank you for showing us the truth and the power and the love and the grace of what a true parent is. God, we lift up all of those who are hurting today, whether they're hurting because of illness or because of grief. We pray that you'll fill them with your presence. Give them hope. Give them light. Give them love. God, today we lift up especially those members of our church family who are ill or in special need. We pray for Clifford Smith and for June Glazier, for Fred Williams and Barbara Clark, Megan Arnold, and Patty Shoemaker. We pray for Joyce Dennis.
Doug Chenault, Lanny Langley, and others whom we name before you in our hearts. Fill them with your grace. Fill them with your love. God, we are so joyful today, too. We celebrate the accomplishment of our graduating seniors. We thank you for working in the midst of their lives through us and through others. God, we have seen you bring good out of evil, and we have seen you mold and make them in your image. And so, God, we pray that you will give each one of them your Holy Spirit so that as they continue to grow in faith, in love, and in hope, that they will always remember that you are constantly with them. Remind them of the care and the way that we help to raise them. Remind them always of your abiding love for them. And God, we finally pray for ourselves today. Some of us are moms and dads who are saying goodbye soon to somebody we really love. And so, God, we pray that you will give us the grace that we need to see us through and to celebrate in the midst of our mourning. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and continue to worship with us this morning as we sing another throwback worship tune.
Because there's a part where everybody yells, toupee! Y'all can have a seat. That's an old camp joke. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to spoil the moment with my silliness. But anyway, we are so glad that you are here today. And in just a few minutes, Brother Nick is going to share a story that from Jesus' life, a scene from close to the end of Jesus' life, where he noticed the generosity of a very special woman. And he's going to share with us about that in just a few moments. We all have an opportunity to show generosity just like she did today. And when I was a little kid, I remember there was a couple that sat with my brother and me. I had to sit on one side of them. He had to sit on the other for reasons that we won't go into. But every week, her name was Gail, and she would hand me two pennies. She would hand me two pennies to put in the plate. And when I got a little bit older, I kept putting in two pennies when I had way more than two pennies to give. And I don't do that anymore, amen? It took me a while to get out of that. But I want to encourage you to give. Jesus notices her generosity, that two pennies was all that she had that day. And so I want to encourage you to give generously to support the ministries of our church family through your gifts. Would you pray with me? God, we do thank you for being with us today. And we thank you because we know that everything that we have and everything that we are is a gift of your gracious, abundant, and merciful love for us. And so we pray now that you will bless these gifts, which we return to you out of our love for you, in the hope that you will use them to grow your kingdom. We pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
You're turning lives around. You are here,
turning lives around. You are here, mending
feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop,
say it out,
never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
It's who you are. Waymaker,
waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
That is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
One more time.
You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Going to practice some of that today. I bet we're going to practice showing our moms how much we love. You're like, no, I'm not doing laundry. That's okay. Well, I want to talk to you about someone else that's also in all of our lives, in our heart, and that's God. Have you ever told God that you love him? Yeah, like when you're praying. Do you think God likes to hear the words, I love you? Yeah. But you know what? Just like our moms, God wants us to show him that we love him and not just say it. He wants us to say it, but he also wants us to show it. How do you show God that you love him? By doing laundry? No. How do you show God that you love him? By telling him. But what else? How can you show him? Praying? Oh, yes, that's exactly right. Catherine, the Bible tells us that God loves us so much that he wants us to show his love to other people. Okay, so today, Senior Sunday, we're going to love on our seniors. We're going to love on our moms and anyone who takes care of us and even strangers and people we see today. We're going to show them how much we love them because that's what God wants us to do. Can you do it? Maybe? All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for our seniors this morning. Thank you for moms, grandmothers, aunts, friends, and everyone in our lives that love us the way that a mom does. Help us to leave here today and show that we love you by our actions. We love you very much. Amen.
Today's reading is from Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth just a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of you who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So we all learn things from each other, don't we, in fellowship? As much as I've enjoyed being with them, they've taught me some things as well. Amen? So good morning and happy Mother's Day. It is a joy to be with you today on this day where we are really thankful and we come with a heart full of gratitude for our mothers, for our biological mothers, for adoptive mothers, for those who have been in our lives. We'll show that later. All right, thank you. We just want to say thank you. We thank you for all that you are. We thank you for all that you do. And we pray that your day is special. I also want to tell you that I'm thankful for just the word mother, period. As a dad, it allows me to say one of my favorite terms, which is go ask your mother. And I'll be honest with you, and he says I'm right. I'll be honest with you. I'm very soft when it comes to my kids. I just am. I am a pushover. They could say to me, Dad, we're going to go jump off the roof, and my answer would probably be, sounds good, make sure you wear a helmet. And so in our house, go ask your mother is actually probably the smarter thing for us to do. I'm also excited to be with you this morning as we continue on with our Renew series. We're in the middle of a series where we are looking at the commitments that we make in the life of the church when we join. And for the last couple weeks, Brother Hammett has talked about prayers, and he's talked about presence. And we're going to talk about gifts today, and then we'll talk about service and ultimately witness. And what will happen is that will culminate on May 22nd with our Confirmation Sunday, where six of our students will stand up before the congregation, and they will claim their faith as their own. And so leading up to that, you have an opportunity to consider those commitments you have made at some point in your life if you've joined the Methodist Church. If you haven't, it gives you a sense of what you would commit to if you do join the Methodist Church. And then on Confirmation Sunday, when we all together are with the confirmands, we will say the vows as well and affirm our faith. And so I pray that you are with us. And so just to be clear, Hammett talked about prayers and presents. I'm talking about gifts. The scripture is the widow's offering. I know what's going through your mind. You're probably thinking, oh, geez, we're going to talk about money. And you know what? You're right. But not yet. We'll get to it here in just a little bit. It's important before we do that, that we step back and take a look at this scripture in its larger picture so that we understand how gifts work for us in the life as a Christian. So this story of the widow's offering is part of a larger narrative that we see in Mark 12. And what that entire narrative does is allows us to widen our lens, as we should when we read scripture. It allows us to see the fullness of Jesus' teaching, and it allows us to see the desire that God has for us in our lives. If we go back just a few verses to verse 28, we get what is known as the first commandment or as the greatest commandment. If you've been in church long enough, or even if this is your very first day in church, you have no doubt heard this verse. And you can say it with me if you know it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. We all know that passage. And that passage sets the stage for what we're going to talk about. You know, there's many great heart surgeons in this world. I know there's some wonderful heart surgeons in our congregation. But there are no greater teachers on how the heart works than our Savior, Jesus Christ. And too often, we love to abridge that passage. We love to just simply say, love your neighbor, and that's it. And you hear that all the time. Love your neighbor, love your neighbor, love your neighbor. It looks good on a t-shirt. It's a really great answer and a safe response to some tough theological questions, and it rolls off the tongue really nicely. But when we only see the second part of that commandment without fully understanding the first part, we open ourselves up to nuance. We open ourselves up to letting the world decide for us how to love. And we begin to engage in a type of love that is conditional. See, when we love God with our whole heart, with every inch of our soul, and when God occupies every corner of our mind, then we can show the world how to love because our heart is aimed properly. That's important for us to understand when we look at the story of the widow. And in fact, we can't understand the story of the widow if we don't fully understand God's love. Because simply put, God's love is the greatest gift that we ever have and ever will receive. It's the kind of love that was born on the cross and reached its finality in the resurrection. It's the kind of love, it is the kind of gift that should guide our Christian life and how we live in the life of the church. God's love changes us. There's a theologian named Reinhard Hutter, and he said the following. He said, in the Christian life, the love of God comprises and shapes all other loves, such that the more our Christian life is assimilated to God's love, the deeper is our dedication to serving the neighbor and the world. The more we get of God's love, the more we can love our neighbor properly. And it leads us out of that tension that we find ourselves in between God's love and the world's love. Speaking of tension, there's an amazing tension of the heart here in chapter 12 of Mark's gospel. There's a tension between hearts being guided by selfish actions and a heart that is guided by faith. Jesus said, starting in verse 38, check this out. He said, beware of the scribes who like to walk around in log robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to have the best seats in the synagogue and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearance say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. That's pretty harsh from Jesus, right? That's Jesus just laying it down. But what is he saying here? Well, for us today as Christians, he is saying, don't be a Christian by words only. Don't say you are a believer while living a life that completely contradicts the life God calls us to. Don't use your faith as a means of status. Don't come to church just simply to be seen. Don't pray just so people see you pray. The Christian life, our life as followers of Christ, should be evident. Should be evident in our words, in our actions, in our character, in our integrity. And above all else, it should be evident in how we prioritize God in our life. Now, none of us live the perfect Christian life. None of us are perfect. We can all be a bit selfish at times. We can all be a bit hypocritical at times. We are not perfect. We aren't perfect Christians. We're not perfect parents. And trust me, I can tell you stories. We are not perfect children. But God doesn't call us to be perfect. Through this life in faith, through a life in Christ, we are made perfect. We are made perfect in love because we can see God's gifts poured into our lives. And our gifts become a response to those gifts. It's reactive in a way. Because at all points in our life, God goes first. And that's really easy for me to say. And I think that's really easy for you to believe. We have 2,000 years of Christian teaching. We have seen the glory of Christ's death and resurrection. It guides us. But this widow in the story did not. Jesus' final victory had not come to fruition yet. In fact, we don't know much about this widow at all. We do know that she is a widow, which means that at some point she lost her husband. Her husband is deceased. We don't know how or why. We just know that for her to be a widow, she lost her husband. And so it's likely that she has borne all the grief and heartache and sadness and pain and perhaps even anger that comes with that. We also know that she is poor. We know that she has struggled to make ends meet. The Bible is very particular in pointing that out. They don't tell us whether she's homeless. They don't tell us whether she's about to be evicted. They don't tell us whether she's eaten that day. But they do make a point to tell us that she's poor. Yet through all of that, through all of that pain and all of that hurt, she still walks into the synagogue, carrying all that with her. And she's surrounded by rich people. And God is quick to tell us that these rich people gave large sums of money. They were giving to their church. That wasn't the issue. But if you think about what we just heard Jesus say about the scribes, perhaps the intent of their giving did not align with what God asks of us when we give. What the widow teaches us above all else is she teaches us how to trust. She put in everything she had, not just monetarily, but she was all in. And here's the beautiful thing. She did so without knowing the end result. She didn't know that Christ would die for her. She didn't know that she was going to be made whole and reconciled through the resurrection. But she did know that all she had belonged to God. And it is out of that spirit that she gave. That's what God asks for us in our giving and in our gifts. That we give all we have of ourselves, and that we trust that He is in control. That He is able to do what we cannot even fathom and do things that we can't even imagine possible. In my readings this week, I came across this explanation of the widow, and it's perfect, so I want to share it with you. The writer said, when the widow makes her offering, Jesus does not praise her for the amount offered. Never once does Jesus say, look how much she has put in. Nor does Jesus delve into a lengthy description of proportional giving. What he does comment on is how in her giving, she pledges her very self. There is no indication in the text that this widow is anything less than faithful in her offering. Her act of giving is not a financial act, but a casting of her very self on the grace of God. I thought that was beautiful. Today, friends, is Senior Sunday. And in a few minutes, we're going to bring Christian and Miles and Bradley up here. And we'll have an opportunity to celebrate them and their accomplishments. But before we do that, I want you to understand that these three young men are a byproduct of your faithful giving. You and those that have come before you have made a deep investment in their lives. Through your giving, they've had an opportunity to get to know Christ, to go on mission trips, to have a place to study and learn about God, and to have a place to grow in friendship and fellowship. These three young men leave here very, very good friends. And the church and the life of our church had a big role in that. They are the result of faithful giving without knowing what the end result will be. You hear that? Just like the widow. The giving to this church without knowing the end result, this is the product of the end result right here. These three young men. It is giving and trusting that God is in control. It is giving with our hearts aimed properly. I told you that we would get to money. And that, my friends, is what money can do when we trust God with it. You know, I've also been thinking a lot about moms this week. Today especially, but also as I prepared this message, the idea of motherhood kept coming into my mind. And I know how much my mom means to me, even though I don't say it probably as much as I should. And I know how lucky my children are to have Jennifer as their mother. And I've also gotten to know many of the moms in this church, and it's one of the blessings of leading the youth ministry. You get to know the parents well. So I've spent a lot of time with members of our congregation who are currently raising younger kids. And I say younger because no matter how old you get, you still have to continue parenting, and you still need to be parented. Amen? Am I correct? I still need to be parented myself. And so I realize and I know that as a mom, sometimes things can be a mess. And sometimes it can feel like you just aren't doing it right. But it's a selfless, sacrificial act. That's what motherhood is. And I pray that our seniors, that these three young men, feel and are aware of the unconditional love that their mothers have poured into them. And I pray that it will guide you guys as you head out into the world to proclaim the gospel to others. Just remember that no matter where you go, you better call and check in on your mama. Is the video, can I show the video now, guys? All right, let's fire it up. Here's a little Mother's Day video I found.
And last but not least, I want to thank my mom. My heart, the reason why I play the way that I play. Just everything. Just knowing that days that I don't feel like going into practice, or I'm having a hard time, think about her when she had to wake me up, go to work, and just making sure that I'm all right and making sure the family is all right. Those are hard days. My days shouldn't be hard because I love doing what I'm doing, and that's playing basketball. So you keep me going every day, and I love you, and I appreciate you being in my life.
Thank you so much for picking me up from school when I was a kid, fixing me peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day, texting me after every game, telling me I need to stop getting texts, and loving me unconditionally. You wake me up in the middle of the night in the summer times, making me run up a hill, making me do push-ups, screaming at me from the sideline of my games at 8 or 9 years old. We wasn't supposed to be here. You made us believe. You kept us off the street, put clothes on our backs, food on the table. When you didn't eat, you made sure we ate. You went to sleep hungry. You sacrificed for us. You're the real MVP.
Must have rolled through 100 Mother's Day videos, and I couldn't get past that one. I'm not a huge NBA guy, but I know who those guys are, and I also know that if you get the MVP award in the NBA, you're getting the highest individual honor at the highest level of that profession. You can't do any better than that. And it's amazing to me how in all of that, mothers. And I know some of that was hard to hear, but they're just outpouring of love and appreciation. One of the things that Kevin Durant, the second guy who spoke, mentioned was that there were nights where his mother would have to go without eating so that he could make sure that her kids were able to eat. And it was really, really moving. And I think we all have those stories that we can think about and think back to about the special ways in which our mothers have made huge sacrifices for us. Yeah, I think about my own mom. My mom gave birth to me at 20 years old. So she was 19 when she got pregnant with me. And at the time she got pregnant with me, there was a lot of pressure on her to do something very different with me. I won't tell you what that different thing is, but it's been pretty prevalent in the news this week, so I'll let you connect the dots. And so I thank God for my mother every day that I'm here, and I think about the way that she had to completely readjust her life to make sure I had as good a one as possible. It was selfless. And like I said, I know many of you have those stories where the sacrifices your mother has made or the sacrifices you've made as a mother, and I want you to realize that, you know, just like the widow, you give and do what you're able to do, and with faith at the center of your life, you find out that you are capable of doing a whole lot more than you thought. But where your ability ends is where we lean into and trust that God takes over and can do what only God can do. See, the widow in her seemingly small yet mighty act teaches us today that faith is a mighty gift. The only question that we have to answer is, how shall we respond to that beautiful gift? And I say that in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, Amen. Let's pray. Gracious, loving God, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for this group. I thank you for our ability to gather as your children to worship and praise you. I thank you today for all of the mothers that have poured so much into their children, into other people's children. We know that your sacrifice is mighty. We are thankful today for these three graduating seniors, for the young men they've become. We are so thankful that they will now go out into the world and carry their faith and represent our church and represent themselves in a way that is loving. God, before your word, we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And it's through your son's name we pray. Amen. Now, I think we have a video. I promise you baby pictures, right? Okay. We have a video. We'll show it to you, and then we're going to honor our seniors. All right. Thank you. will say, as they're making their way up here, man, it was a joy to put that together. And we learned a few things. We learned that these were some really cute babies, right? And they're still pretty good-looking young men, right? But they were cute babies. We learned that if you're in youth long enough, you'll get a pie in the face. And we've got pictures of all of you that we'll use. And then we also learned that Miles, who's heading to the University of Arkansas, may have an A painted on his chest this fall because he doesn't have a problem painting stuff on his chest like we saw on our mission trip. We've had, I can't begin to tell you, first of all, how much we love these guys and just how thankful we are that they have been part of our family here at Asbury. We're better because of it. I know we've all had a hand in raising them to know Christ, but they impact us in so many ways. And so I'm thankful. I know Brother Hammett is so thankful for them as well. Christian is, when he graduated, well, first of all, Christian, you just won a national championship yesterday, didn't you? In like fitness and like weightlifting. I didn't even know that was possible. So I may need to hire you to help me out. But Christian is heading to the University of Auburn at Montgomery, and he's going to major in history and political science, and he's also going to get into the ROTC down there, and I know how proud of him his father would be that he's going to follow that path. So Christian will be heading to Montgomery, Alabama in August. Miles is heading to the University of Arkansas. He is going to the Hill to call on the Hogs. He was trying to decide between some other schools, but then Musselman got the program going, and so he decided to go to Arkansas. I know Missouri was on the table for a while, but it's okay. He's going to be up at the Hill, and he's going to study psychology, and that's perfect for Miles, because he is always, I don't get a free pass with Miles. He'll ask me questions and questions and questions, and I'll go, I got to go look at my book. So he's going to be perfect at that. And then Bradley, that picture you saw of all of us with Bradley, he was in the play Matilda at Parkview High School, which is where he graduated from. Bradley loves theater. And so Bradley, being a man after my own heart, is going to take a gap year. And he's going to do some local theater. And also for that year, hopefully help me with the youth group as well. And then he's going to look to get into some early childhood education. And so these are our three graduating seniors, everybody, Christian, Miles, and Bradley. You can give them a round of applause if you would like. I'm going to ask them after the benediction to stay up here so you have a chance to come up and give them a hug or a handshake and just wish them well. Let's pray over them if we could. Gracious, loving God, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for these three young men that are before us. We thank you for the ability to be with them in the life of the church at Asbury. We thank you for all they are and all that they mean to us as a church community. And God, we know that your spirit is strong in all three of them, and that as they head out into this next season of their life, wherever they may go, God, we know you are walking alongside them. We know that you lift them up and that you sustain them. We also know, God, and we pray that when they reach those times of struggle and challenge, that they remember that they have a church family that loves them dearly that they can reach out to. So, God, we thank you for all that you have done through them and what you will continue to do through them as they grow to know you. We ask all this in your son's beautiful name. Amen. Amen.
Please stand and join us for our final song. I was picking the songs for this week. I wanted a final song to dedicate to the seniors. And was thinking, what could that be? And as these three young men go out into the world, wherever they may go, wherever they end up, they could always run to the Father. And that's what this song goes out to our seniors this morning.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go, and I see now my condition had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, yeah, the price for my heart. And I don't have a context for that kind of love.
Be back in the pulpit. He's going to continue our Renew series, and we're going to talk about service. Also, next Sunday, we're going to have acolyte training in the sanctuary at 10 o'clock. Miss Nicole and I will do that. It's for our rising third graders and any of our younger kids who just want a refresher on how not to burn the church down. So we'll you can have them come, and we'll do that. We pray that you have a wonderful Mother's Day. Seniors, we love you. We pray it's been a good morning for you. Receive this blessing. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you. And may peace be your way in the world. God loves you. Go in peace. Amen. Run to the fire.